The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A Merry Christmas again to all of you. Seems odd saying Merry Christmas so far after we celebrated the official day, but we're still in the Christmas season. Tomorrow begins ordinary time. And today we are celebrating the baptism of the Lord. A number of years ago, when I was just an associate priest at St. Jerome's, which was my first parish assignment, it was shortly after Christmas, a lady came up to me and she said, "Father, did you get my Christmas gift?" And I was like, "Uh-oh, I don't remember who she is or the name on the gift, because I got lots of gifts." And rather than be embarrassed, I said, "Yes, thank you very much." And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm sure I enjoyed it. It's probably cookies or a wine or something. And she looked at me kind of strange, and that was it. She walked off. And about 6 months later, I was moving the couch at the rectory, and there was a gift there that had been forgotten to be unwrapped. It was lost and hidden behind the sofa. And when I opened the card, it was hers. That ever happened to you? And the card was like, "This is a coupon for a free dinner at my house. Let me know when we can arrange it." So I had to find her out the next Sunday and set and cash in my coupon. But sometimes there are gifts that we receive that we don't recognize are there. And those gifts go unopened, the gift, the grace, unappreciated, until we rediscover the gift and actually open it up. And the church teaches us that this is very much like the sacrament of baptism. Baptism, we receive the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life, salvation. The keys to all of the other sacraments begin with the sacrament of baptism. But sadly, many people have forgotten the gift that they've received, and some people may have never even opened it. And so this is something that we have to consciously do, is to be reminded of the sacrament and to open that gift. The church teaches us that baptism is a fountain of grace. It's a fountain of grace, and it never runs empty. You know, think of the woman at the well, and Jesus offered to her living water. This water, you drink it, you'll never be thirsty, is because it's a fountain. It never runs dry. And this grace is constantly being poured out to us. And in the sacrament of baptism, God gives us certain graces to be the Christian person he wants us to be. There's courage in there. There's wisdom in there. There's temperance in there. There's patience and fortitude, all sorts of gifts that God is pouring out to us in the sacrament of baptism. But God is always a perfect gentleman. He stands at the door and he knocks, and he waits for us to open the door and to invite him into our very hearts. And so that gift of baptism, the grace that he wants to pour out, is there available to us, but we have to open the door. We have to invite that grace in. I don't know about you, but I still have my baptism candle. I keep it on the bookshelf in my office, It's one of those thin ones. I think it was made in China, I'm not sure. And it's broken in the middle, but it's held together by the wick still inside. And my mom used to light my baptism candle and pray when I was just a little boy, an infant, when I was thought to be dying. And so that baptism candle remains on my bookshelf as a constant reminder to me of grace that comes from that sacrament. And the grace is whatever God has called us to do with our life, the grace continues to flow through that sacrament. And so whenever I feel frustrated or stressed out or things don't seem to be going my way, I might reach over and grab that baptism candle and say, God, give me the grace to endure this or for whatever my need is. If it's really bad, I might even light the candle for a few seconds. I don't want to burn it all the way down, but sometimes I will light the candle just for a few seconds. And I think that's an important thing for us to do, to be reminded of our baptism. How many of you, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you know what day you were baptized on? I was baptized only 5 days after I was born. When I was a kid, they used to baptize you pretty much immediately after you were born. So I was baptized only 5 days after I was born. The crazy thing that I hear from some people these days is I'm going to wait until my child grows up, and then I'm going to allow them to make the decision on their own rather than to, you know, force something upon them. To me, this is craziness and even heresy. Baptism is the greatest gift that we could give to our children, the gift of our faith, and to hand that faith on to the child. And it's not just the action of pouring water and calling down the Holy Spirit upon the child, but giving that child a Christian home to grow up in, educating the child in the faith. All of this is part of the baptism. That's why the church requires that we have the firm foundation or belief that the child to be baptized will be raised in the faith. And I see people who will put Cardinals, Dallas Cowboys, Chargers jerseys on their infant babies. You ever see that? They got the shoes and everything. It's like, why would you indoctrinate your child to be a fan of the Cardinals? Maybe they don't like the Cardinals and they're gonna like the Raiders instead. And you'll force that on them, but you won't let them be baptized? That is a kind of idolatry, is it not? To force the child into all sorts of other customs that doesn't really amount to a hill of beans. But our baptism is so crucially important in a world that seems to be losing its faith rather quickly. And so I encourage all Christian mothers to baptize your children soon after they have been born, so that they will receive that grace and also that they grow up in a Christian environment. One of my hobbies, some of you might know, is that I actually make baptism candles. This example of one, I tried to decorate it so it looks similar to like the Easter candle, the Alpha and the Omega, and the Cairo, which stands for Christ. And I make these out of recycled church candles. So my brother priests give me their spent Easter candles and the altar candles, and I melt them down. And that's actually pretty therapeutic to see the candles be chopped up and then reformed and fashioned into something new and hopefully beautiful. And these are available in the gift shop. People order them and they customize them. I pose to you, what would you rather have? A little skinny little candle made out of country or something made by your parish priest? The question always gets asked, why was Jesus baptized? Jesus was without sin. He didn't need to be baptized to wipe away his sins. He was sinless all through his life. He never committed a sin. He was perfect. And even John the Baptist had a problem. When Jesus came to be baptized, he said, am I supposed to baptize you? And Jesus said, need to allow it for now. And so Jesus enters into the water of baptism to make that water holy. And so when we are baptized, we are become part of the family of Christ. Jesus took on the sins of the world. Our baptism is to wash away our sins. But when Jesus entered the water of baptism, he made it possible to take on upon himself the sins of the world and then to carry that to the cross and redeem it through his death and through his resurrection. And so when we are baptized, we are not only baptized with water, but with the Spirit of Christ, his death, and also his resurrection. We are called to be conformed to Christ, to be little Christs. It's what the word Christian means, to be a little Christ. And when you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every time we pray, how do we pray? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every time we pray and we make the sign of the cross and we use those words, you can be reminded of your baptism and the grace and the fountain of grace that flows from it. And so whatever your prayer is, it's linked to your baptism. Why should God answer your prayer? Because you've been in the same water with Christ. He has accepted you as his son and daughter through adoption, through the Spirit. And so that's why we begin all those prayers being reminded of our baptisms. So my challenge to all of you who maybe don't know is to find out what date you were baptized, and through a great use of technology, put your baptism date on your Android or on your iPhone and tell it, you know, remind me every year. And celebrate your baptism. When you celebrate your birthday, you celebrate the beginning or your birth into a few years on earth or a short while on planet earth. But when you are baptized, you are baptized into Christ and into the promise of everlasting life. And so it should be more important to us to celebrate our birth into everlasting life through that baptism. You'll be reminded, or your family will be reminded of your baptism when you die. I don't know if how many of you know this, but we always begin our funeral mass by going to the doors of the church. And the body of the person, if they're in the casket, is brought through the door of the church. Because we remember there was a first time that person was brought through the doorway of a church. Perhaps it was for their baptism. I think the first time I ever came into a church was for my baptism. And this is the last time that body will pass through the door of a church. They'll be clothed again in a white garment, reminder of the garment they receive at baptism, the wedding gown. The Easter candle will once again be lit for them in the sanctuary. And again, they will be blessed with the holy water, signs and reminders of the promise that was made at their baptism. And so as we celebrate Jesus' baptism, we also celebrate our baptism because we're baptized into Christ. And just as the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," this is something that we all long to hear. The Father say to us, "You are my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased." And this is glory.